You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a keynote speaker, trainer, and consultant in the sector and published author on influencer marketing strategy. Influence is also a proud member of the Marketing Podcast Network, where you can listen to other amazing influencer and marketing related shows. Today, I'm talking with Shannon Walker, who's the founder of PR and communications agency Social Disruption. And Shannon talks about why influencer marketing should always represent diverse communities and why addressing the influencer pay gap is still a top priority.
I actually started my career in-house, working across various different media disciplines, such as advertising, social, PR, traditional PR, and influencer marketing. I've always been really interested in marketing and the power that it has. From studying it at university, I did advertising, PR, media, getting a real sense that marketers, we have power. So I've always taken that into each role, thinking, you know, as a marketer, what I put out there, the campaigns I work on have a power to shape representations of people or do good in society, etc. So that's something I've always been quite conscious of. And mainly in my experience, I've worked with beautiful, amazing luxury brands, kind of everyday, world-known consumer brands. Whilst that's been amazing, kind of setting up influencer marketing departments for like large luxury department stores, there's always been something within me that hasn't felt fulfilled, and that's been the lack of diversity in those spaces, the lack of diversity in the campaigns, the fact that, you know, communications, we know it's empowering, also talking about mental health problems. You know, if we do more good comms, surely that would infiltrate in society. So the end of December 2019, I kind of just did a leap of faith, feeling unfulfilled, wanting more purpose in my profession, to kind of step out of kind of working for a brand environment to launch my own thing, to be more disruptive, to support more purpose and more conscious communications, to encourage more diversity. And therefore, Social Disruption was born, and it's really about that. It drives our mission to help brands know the power of storytelling, the power of comms, and saying, you know, can we use our comms in a more empowering way to champion and celebrate diversity, to help kind of dismantle those injustices that exist. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of my experience and how I got here today.
That's brilliant and really encouraging to see what you've achieved. And just on that, it's incredible to see how many female entrepreneurs have grown out of the influencer space, isn't it? I reckon it's around 85% that is now female influencers, particularly when you look at B2C, which is phenomenal, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
One thing I was going to ask you is that we're still having this conversation, aren't we, about influencer pay gap. So why do you think this is still occurring?
To put it bluntly, I think because for so many years we've done a lot of talking. It's nothing new. There's a pay gap. Nothing new that there's disparity between different races and pay. Nothing new that there's injustice. But I think we've done a lot of talking in the last couple of years where we're seeing now more action, seeing more reports, more studies. Even I was shocked, to be honest. There was a recent report by MSL, I believe. They put out a report that Black creators feel that they're often monetized less because of their race. And I was sort of shocked because there was lots of reports last year as well about this. So I assumed a year later, there'd be more confidence in the community, there'd be a lot more positive news. And I think it just reinforces that we need to continuously kind of talk about this issue, continuously benchmark and assess ourselves and put out reports just to ensure long-term we're holding ourselves accountable and not talking, but also doing action behind it, which is really important. So I'm saying that's the reason why there's still disparity between pay gaps.
What you're saying is there is more information about this, isn't there, than there was before. and I'm sure you would subscribe to this, we still have to educate brands and influencer agencies in particular about the, having a proper diverse mix in the way they cast or propose influencers, not least of all because, you know, it's more representative of their existing target audience. But it might actually help the organisation find new markets and consider different types of content that perhaps they'd never thought about before. So it's all very well to talk about this, of course, isn't it? Why does this really matter, do you think?
Do you know what? One of the quotes that I personally use, that I personally felt, is that no one deserves to feel not seen, not heard, not respected. And for me, that drives my work in working with various different networks and educating brands, because it just feels awful to not feel important or valued. And because of something you cannot change, like you can change your hairstyle, I can change your clothes, look cool. You can't change your skin color. It's who you are. And we all deserve to be respected and based on that. And it's basic humanity. I think, you know, we're all given this beautiful earth to live on. Therefore, we should all respect each other, no matter what, where we come from, because we all bleed the same blood. Sorry to be cliche. And we all have a responsibility in regards to that. If we see injustice, we need to really all look at it and kind of level the playing field, because we all breathe the same air. So therefore, why is anyone better than others? And I think it's really important to dismantle those systems that suggest otherwise.
Absolutely. I was just going to ask you, you know, do you think we should support content creators, particularly in these diverse groups, to be more confident about negotiating better or not feeling that they're not worthy of a certain price point for video editing, for example? You know, we were talking earlier about educating brands, but I think there's a lot to be said for supporting creators, don't you? And I had an instance recently, actually, of a content creator I know, and she asked me what price she should charge for a particular project. And I said, you know, you're way better than this and you should double it. And she did. And guess what? She got the job.
No, absolutely. So we're PR partners of Black British Bloggers Network, an amazing, phenomenal network that exists. They started about, I think, 2015 or 16 to champion and create more community in the Black British community. And we support them in just helping our brands we work with, or just brands get more creators of colour on their radar, and also kind of provide mentoring and support to those creators. And like you said, we have numerous conversations where people are putting forward rates and we're like, what? Like, do you know how strong your engagement is? Do you know how amazing your talent is? This is not what you should be at. And I think it's just consistently having those conversations and providing transparency. That's what it comes down to. And that's helped fuel this current pay gap we have right now, where it's lack of knowledge sharing, it's lack of transparency, and we try to fill that gap in our small way by just having those one-to-one convos. And BBB are really great in doing educational platforms as well, where they kind of sit with brands and influencer marketers, where they can sort of say, all right, how can we get campaigns, what's the best way to intro to a brand, etc. I think as marketers and creators, we can work better together to support ourselves in that regards.
Interesting. Absolutely. In fact, I interviewed a fashion creator recently who recently told me that she was involved in a quintessentially English heritage type brand. And the brand decided to work with her for the first time. And she had amazing feedback from her audience, who wouldn't traditionally have thought about this particular brand or relating to it. And because of the way that she promoted it and her stories and the campaign, they went on to purchase from them. And of course, she subsequently fed all of this positive comment back to the brand to show them, you know, what she was doing and the reaction. And now she works with them on an ongoing basis, which is great, isn't it? And so just following on from what you were saying there about content creators knowing their worth and value, do you think we ought to have better standard rates of compensation? And I know, you know, they're somewhat loosely, but what's your thoughts around this?
Do you know what? That's a really difficult question. When you look at other industries, for example, a PR manager, for example, there's different bandings, you know what kind of rate you need to be on. When you go for a job, you give your salary expectations, and it's so clear, there's so much standardization, and it works. With influencer marketing now, you know, just because two people have 50,000 following, if one of them's an expert, if one of them's a photographer or more creative, it will completely change what they charge. So it's really difficult to have something standard when there's so many different variables involved that will contribute to what someone charges. If they're a well-known celebrity, but with a smaller following, again, their name and their reputation is going to hold more weight. So to answer your questions, it's difficult to answer. I think it'll probably help bring some sort of like guidelines for people that are more creators and the industry experts may have a different finding, but I think there's so many different variables involved. I think just maybe even transparency, just having perhaps audits and releasing that data of what people are charging based on engagement or based on if they're a well-known brand, that might be better.
Yep. I totally agree. And the reason I say that is because, you know, free dress, let's be honest, doesn't pay the rent, does it? So many brands believe they can work with content creators purely on a gifting basis. And I think, you know, it does depend on the cost of the gift. If it's a sofa or a Rolex watch, then then it's clearly different. But largely, if it's a consumer product, then, you know, you're going to try it out, perhaps. There's a lot to be said for perhaps minimum rates of pay. I don't know. You know, we have minimum rates of pay in our society, don't they? Why shouldn't this apply to content creators? You know, particularly for people that are working on their own, that are multi-talented. You know, for example, you pay for an advert, don't you, in a magazine, you pay for a TV advert. So why would you not pay for somebody that has an engaged audience?
No, absolutely. And just to add to that, I think it's really incredible what some of the platforms are doing in regards to their creator funds, because it allows the creators to have more power and be monetized on their platform. Because let's be honest, it takes about a good couple of years actually to build engagement and community for yourself on those platforms and use those platforms. So it's great that they're now giving back to the creators, and it will help lessen that pay disparity that we are seeing.
In fact, it's one of the agencies I know in America was telling me that they embrace diversity in all their campaigns and have been known to turn down projects if their clients won't move on allowing a wider diverse representation, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I think people often say, oh, but what if we do this, what if that? But do you want to work with people like that? Do you want to be aligned with brands that indirectly say, actually, we don't support other creators of colour? It's a hard one business-wise, but do you want to be aligned? Like, you've got to be honest.
Good for you. I totally agree. In fact, that's the point in having a value if you're not driving it forward. So Shannon, tell me about some of the brands you admire and what you know, that are perhaps doing the right thing around this question. When you say, you know, good on you, which are the ones that really resonate with you?
You know what, I've got to say, the emerging brands currently, the ones that are kind of launching this last 12 months or a couple of years, they've done just really amazingly, to be honest, in regards to their diversity efforts. And we worked with a really amazing brand last year called Emelin, and we're part of their Your Shade, Your Rules campaign. And we did a really cool creative campaign with influencers from all walks of life, different shades, different sizes. And there was a wonderful drag queen in there. It was such a fun campaign, and the vibe on set was just so cool. People felt so relaxed. It was such a vibesy atmosphere, and the content itself just spoke to so many people. That wasn't just a fun campaign to do. It was really embedded in the values of that brand, because they're slogan is your shapes, your rules. They stand for inclusivity. So I really have to give props to small brands like that who have it set in their foundation that they're about inclusivity. In terms of the larger players, I've got to shout out one of the creatives on the Black British Bloggers Network, Trina from Culture. I think her name is Trina Charles, have recently done a collaboration with Nike. And Nike's one of my favorite brands for inclusivity, because I think they do it so awesomely. And it's not just about, oh, great, you know, we've got a campaign. They really impact positively the community they work with. So she did a really great campaign with them as part of the Curve Catwalk, which celebrates size positivity, body positivity. And they launched a sports bra with her to tackle an issue of women who are of larger size and can't really find bras that set their body shape. And I think that's really key when it comes to inclusive campaigns, where it's not just about representing people, but it's also about representing problems in that community and tackling it through engaging campaigns and using the people in the community as a voice for those issues or representations, rather than being used as a commodity to market. So I think that's the real key difference. And another one I can think of, I'm a huge admirer of, there's a US brand called Blackwood. They launched really amazing bags last year. And one of them had a slogan called End Systemic Racism. And that's really in-your-face way to kind of champion the need for dismantling racial injustice. And they kind of put it on their slogan, like, we stand for this, but we're also having it in our products. And a part of that, again, going a step forward to use profit from that to give back to the community. So those brands that don't just represent a diverse amount of people, but actually do something for the community and make it a long-term approach are the ones. There you go. Yeah, those are the ones that are non-apologetic. It's not like, oh, we'll do it a little bit to make people comfortable. It's like, no, we're here. This is what we stand for. We're faced with it. Those are the ones I really respect and stand out from the top of my head.
No, that's great to hear. And I think we want to see, what we don't want to see is this sort of tokenism, do we? You know, we don't want to see people just jumping on the bandwagon like some brands did with Black Lives Matter. Well, you know, we just don't want to see words, but real action on this. And I love, you know, where you start to see these messages starting to be so core to that organisation that they're appearing in the company's strapline. So here's a bit of fun. I'm going to imagine that you are in the government and you're head of diversity and influence and have as much money as you want to play with. What would you really like to see change in our society?
The key thing I believe I'd like to see change, I think I've had a lot of amazing conversations with brands and individuals over the last year or so. And I think it would be amazing to see that diversity more internal from Honest. And where we see shortcomings, I do believe it's because inclusivity and diversity is still an end result. It's still a, let's do a campaign, let's get some like people of color at the end of the campaign, rather than it being throughout, rather than those managers, those directors, people high level. And I understand that obviously you can't just like wipe out an entire workforce, and you know, it's not that quick, but you can work with consultants. You can actually see value in a creator rather than going, oh yeah, give us your thoughts. Actually, no, let's retain you, creator, or you know, whoever you may be, and to actually support us long term. Even I have conversations where it's like, oh, can we get your thoughts on something? And I'm like, you mean consultation? Because that's what it is. And I think more respect for the many abundance of like, talent or marketeers that exist with expertise and lived experience, you can really provide great support in this journey. So I'd like to see more people working within the brand and more support for those creators, again, that are doing the work, because it's not new. It's a however many old, 100 year, whatever issue. And I do think people are treating it as brand new as well. So I'd love to see more respect and support for those on the ground communities or influencers and marketers. I mean, doing it long term, as well as seeing them more involved in the conversations and change rather than the end result.
I, for one, would echo that. I'm a great fan of supporting universities as well. I've done quite a lot with them in the last few years. Or perhaps, you know, generally, should we just create our own industry-wide campaign to get the message over?
That is a really good point. Yeah, I think definitely supporting the next wave of talent as well is something we can do. And also, because we do every so often, we've got one coming up in February with Boston University. We do talks with them and their students on the influencer marketing industry. And we also do a range of training and apprenticeships in-house where we can support the next creatives and teach them what we are doing comms purposefully and being diverse and inclusivity and embedding that in their values rather than thinking just campaign-wise. And it's amazing. People are so open to it.
Absolutely. I mean, we could talk all day, couldn't we? But I have to say, Shannon, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here today. And all the very best for the future and all that your endeavours. And also being my guest on the Influence Global podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an amazing chat. Thank you.
This podcast is supported by the Branded Content Marketing Association, promoting the value of influencer marketing globally.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and give me your feedback, gordon@gordonglenister.com. Or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, where you can also ask me a question. If you're able to leave us a 5-star review, we really do appreciate that. If you also want help in creating an influencer marketing strategy, or want to join the Influencer Marketing Roundtable weekly event, head over to gordonglenister.com. And thanks as always to my producer Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.